Previously on the Dead Dragon Society. A book of knowledge.
Agreed?
Agreed.
We wish upon it!
And a bright light flashes and disappears, and you see a small child. My name's Chad, Great Prodigal Theory.
He is incomplete, a small child, and overall seems a little bit useless.
We've got to do everything within our power to unleash the power of this young Chad.
I think we need to go to the Neverwinter Library.
What's a mud ah?
A mud ah?
Are you my mudda?
Oh, it's not a murder.
Definitely mother.
Guys. He's been around this town for the last couple weeks looking for his mudda.
I turn to Chad and say, why must you help?
Want to learn.
This could potentially heal his brain.
So we have to teach a book of knowledge about knowledge?
Think of it more like a puzzle. He's missing pieces that we need to find to help unlock whatever his power is.
You see a beautiful woman with purple hair. Jay, where were you? I've been looking for you.
I'm just going to attack.
The flame just engulfs her and she says, oh, my beautiful wickedness. And she collapses. And she just becomes a puddle of water on the ground.
Jay finally gets to say goodbye.
We found your mudda.
And then all of your attention goes to Chad and you hear him say, I remember. So we are sitting around the fire. Peaceful. If you could choose anyone in the world to recognize one of your skills, who would it be? Would you still want their recognition if they were critical? Anne.
Man, the worst part of this is coming up with a name for the person.
I'm pulling up a fantasy name generator right now.
Honestly, I've been thinking about this because I have named my unseen servant after him, but Willie Joel. I think that I really try and tailor my music after him. He's my muse, my inspiration. Lyrically a genius. Musically also a genius. And, you know, I welcome all forms of critique. I'm not sure he would have much to say is in the way of critique for what I've done. I'm pretty proud of my skills I've mastered. But, you know, any feedback is welcome. I think that if he opened for me one day, then I would feel like I'd made it.
And if it were critical? Did you already answer
that? Oh, yeah. I welcome all sorts of feedback. I'm not really sure what there is to critique, but I would welcome it.
If mine were critical feedback, I think it would fundamentally destroy the thing I was trying to get out of the relationship, if this relationship were to exist. Because as soon as our traveling circus essentially collapsed and we went on the run, about 2 years after that, I had some interesting kind of negotiations with some associates of Lord Dewthorn, and he had heard about us, heard about our you know, skill sets, and was interested in kind of providing some initial seed funding to allow me to reach back out to my previous performing companions to get the group back together. But before I had the opportunity to get that together and actually, you know, stage a temporary performance that we could use to show off our skill set and secure the deal with Dewthorn, the previous patrons kind of, shall we say, trained, militia might be too strong of a word, but trained soldiers showed up at our doorstep and we quickly had to disperse once more. So given the opportunity, I think that could have saved us from a lot of grief over the last few years.
For me, Theo Blackthorn, I don't even know this being's name. I've only met him once, maybe twice. He's the being that's given me my powers. If this being could just once see the potential within me to be a great warlock, I know he would just give me more powers, more magical abilities. And I just crave for him to be able to see that in me. Because I think I would do wonderful things in this world if only I had these capabilities. And if this being were to be critical of me and see in me maybe something that's wrong or something that doesn't deserve these powers, well, the hell with that bastard!
Yeah, you and I share the same goals. I feel the same way about exactly. Willie Joel. I think we're saying the same thing, though. I mean, power is stardom. Yeah. I get it. He gets it.
Well, everybody... Blackthorn, everybody knows that Eldritch patrons notoriously always give and never ask anything in return.
So. That is totally my understanding as well. Very good.
As much as a part of me hates her, I think my mother. She despises poor people. And so that's part of where my need for material success comes from. Just so that she could see me one time after she's abandoned me.
Where is your mother, friend?
She's back at... what time is it?
She's home. Yeah. She's back home.
Shit, I'm late for dinner.
But what if she's critical, though? You know, what are you going to do?
She's in the merchant headquarters. And if she's critical...
Would you still want her to notice you or not? Isn't she critical of you anyway? Is it just... So it changes nothing?
It changes nothing. I just really want to be seen. Good or bad, just see me after you left me.
My name is Trogram. Funny enough, Theo Blackthorn was not the first person I met upon leaving my village. Right before, on my way to Newfoundland, when I found myself at a crossroads, and a little bit off in a swamp, there was a half-elf who was stuck up to his waist in muck. He was stuck in a sinkhole or quicksand or something.
Was it the elf half or the human half?
he was evenly distributed, even distribution of elf and man throughout his body. And
was the left ear human and the right ear elf?
No, it was
even distribution.
It was a differential gradient of life to human.
I think we're getting sidetracked here.
Trogram. Wait, which half was the horse?
Let Trogram finish his story for crying out loud.
The man screamed, "Help! Help! Help me! I am stuck in the quicksand, please!" And I went up to him, and of course, as a person in aid, I must help him, and it is a feat of strength, so it is something that I would absolutely love to do, and. I may have broken his wrist when grasping him and taking him out of the quicksand, but I wish he would still recognize my skill in saving people and feats of strength.
That was a perfect impersonation of him going to help. What did he say when you broke his wrist on accident?
He said, "Oh my God, you broke my wrist. I can't believe you, absolute brute."
God, it's like I'm there.
You're a master of accents, Trogram.
I'm going to file that away for later.
I have two. I can be here. Oh, I can be here.
I'm Frankie. And if I could choose anyone in the world to recognize one of my skills, I never really knew my dad. So,
for context, Frank the Elder is sitting across the table from him.
Talk about not being seen.
This is great. You're sitting a couple feet away from him. We're gonna get into it. You guys are gonna bond. It's gonna be great.
I didn't actually think of a real one. I just kept on thinking of that joke.
That's a funny joke. I think.
Okay, let's do a quick introduction.
All right, hi, I am Paige Raymond. I play Anne O'Neing, a regionally renowned one-woman band in the Forgotten Realms, on a personal journey to do her village proud by racking up fame and good fortune. Arch-nemesis of Peanut the Squirrel.
I'm Frank Tapponi, Frankie's dad! And I play Theo Blackthorn, who is a well-to-do, prosperous merchant who recently picked up the side hustle of warlocking.
I am Jorge Bardales. I play Maximilian DuPont. Arch nemesis, I'm taking that from Paige. Stepfather. Abandonment issues, I would say. Yeah, abandonment issues.
I'm Matt Callahan. I play Horatio Rumbuckle. Fellow bard and friend of Anne O'Neing. I am the owner of and performing companion of Peanut the Squirrel. And yeah, I am also somewhat regionally known and a member of a former existing traveling circus.
My name is Pat Salambier. I play Trogram the Half-Orc, a barbarian who has left his village from magical seclusion, armed with nothing but a maul, clothes on his back,
an adventuring pack, of course, with all of the rope and 10 rations and that kind of thing. And a mysterious artifact that he must repair.
And I'm Frankie, the fatherless DM.
The pain
continues. We're not roasting Frankie this time, we're roasting Frank.
Welcome to episode 3, Choose the Rock. So just a little reminder of where we are. We are on top of a hill. There is a grave in front of us. A bunch of lotus flowers are now sprinkled throughout the hill. A young Jay sits, just found his mudda. And a Chad who just started to remember.
I, Anne, approach Jay and put a hand on his shoulders, and I go, Jay, I can't even imagine what you're going through right now. I've never seen the evil ghost of my mother slaughtered by a band of random strangers. But I just want you to know that if you want to talk about it, we're here for you, because we definitely should be here for you. I, again, cannot even fathom what you are going through right now.
With the ectoplasm still in your hands.
I shake the ectoplasm off of my hands and pull out my lute. I say, maybe we can, raise your spirits with some music.
Some toxic positivity? That's exactly what we need. I bring up my drum kit.
When you say raise your spirits, you don't mean literally, do you? Raise a spirit?
No, that
spirit's not getting back up. Yeah. Very evidently.
His mom is gone. Sorry, Jay.
Raise spirits!
I start like tapping on my legs in like a drum kick.
I start
of fashion.
Playing like really folksy music, and yeah. Peanut starts clog dancing.
I'm playing the spoons, but I don't have any spoons. It's just like my hand on my thighs.
You're ham boning.
Yeah, I'm ham boning.
I just love how we're throwing a party after killing this boy.
And we're trying to cheer
mother.
Him up.
I look at Jay and see if this has any positive effect or if what's he doing.
You look at him and you can just tell he finally gets to let go and say goodbye to his mom. And he, even though it is a sad moment, it is a happy one. Hmm. Lotus flower being her favorite flower, and seeing his mom, even though it was in that state, was important for him to say goodbye.
Theo walks up to Jay and puts his arm around him and says, young man, grief is a process that you must endure. And it seems like you're on the path now. It's good. And just because you've lost your mother doesn't mean you'll ever lose your love for your mother. Anywho, we should move on. You good?
Surely he's not going back through that mine himself.
Where are you guys going?
Well, we're still going. I don't think we're going back. We're going to Neverwater. We're going to Neverwater Deep.
Neverwater Deep Gate.
3. We're on our way to... we're on our way to Neverwater Deep Gates 3. We're on our way to Neverwinter. I mean, if you want to tag along, you can, but I'm not licensed in child handling.
He looks over at Chad, kind of wipes his tears away and goes... with his wrists. He wipes away with his wrists.
There wouldn't be a child who did it any other way.
And says, I have family in Neverwinter. Can I just be with you until I could find them again?
Do you know where they are specifically?
Yeah, Neverwinter.
Yeah, we'll just shout, hey, Jay's here. He's looking for his family as soon as we enter Neverwinter. And how many Jays can there be in the world?
We can always hand him off to the guards. I'm sure it's fine.
Trogram looks at the young Jay and says, small sir, we will find your family. You will walk with Chad until we must depart.
Thank you.
Jay, do you have like a last name or a family name, or are you just Jay? I'm trying to read the tombstone, but there's nothing on it, so it must be kind of old.
Yeah, we kind of broke that.
Did we?
What does the scene look like?
It's a green hill with just a stone grave on top, flowers all over except for a perfect square around the size of a coffin that sits above the grave. You see a trail and then the road to Neverwinter 200 yards away.
Trogram turns to Jay and says, "Are you satisfied with your goodbyes?"
He picks up a lotus flower and kind of like tucks it in his pocket and says, "I believe so.
We shall go." And Trogram with the two children starts walking away from the grave toward the path.
I'm going to continue playing the lute as we walk, providing some traveling music.
I'm going to keep just hand-boning to the lute.
Theo looks to link arms and skip down the yellow brick road. I don't know.
You guys walk down the road, and you're still a little bit away from Neverwinter, about a day and a half. So one night's rest. So we get to, I'll say, two-thirds of the way when you guys have to stop for the night. And you just set up camp, and you're all sitting there around the fire.
I shall take first watch. Children, sleep over there.
Are they included in the watch?
No, they're children. They're useless in the event of an attack. ChatGPT knows nothing. Jay is still probably crying a little.
I am an early riser. I'll take the last watch.
I will relieve Trogram.
I'll take last watch as well.
I'm going to get some good beauty sleep. I'll watch the kids through my eyelids because they'll be closed.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works, but okay.
I look at Maximilian. I'm just going to look away.
Horatio, a quick word, if I may. And I take Horatio away from the campfire, and I say, "Young sir, I just want to say you're such a wonderful musician, bard. You really have a lot of talent. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you better as we travel this road to Neverwinter."
I'm like visibly kind of uncomfortable in his presence on a one-on-one basis. No, definitely interested in getting to know you better.
I never forget a face, but I can't seem to recall yours. Have we met before? No, never mind. I'm sure it'll come to me. Anyway, I just...
Yeah, you know, I'm, you know, it's really unfortunate that we can't ask Chad about all our burning questions, like, you know, how to learn instruments, how we know people, you know, all sorts of things. But yeah, definitely. I think it'll be.
In that moment, you hear a scream coming from Chad, and he wakes up and he just, you just see him put his hands on his head and he goes, "Help! Help!"
I'm watching him. I grab his shoulders and start shaking him. I go, "Chad, good morning. It's okay. You're safe."
And he quickly wakes up and he looks at you, tears kind of come into his eyes, and he just grabs you and hugs you.
I hug the child, who is probably larger than me.
"I was so scared."
"What did you see?
What are you scared of?
What did you dream?"
It was so scary. It was just like this. It was just this mouth. It was just filled with mouth.
Oh, that is scary. Mouths are scary. And I cover my mouth while I'm hugging him.
Can I perform either like an insight or a history check or something to see if I recognize that as any kind of like eldritch being?
Yeah, sure.
What would that be in your mind?
History.
Okay. It's an 18.
You don't recognize it.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well, he kind of like takes a deep breath and he feels around and looks up.
"Do you want me to play the pan flute for you?"
"No, I..." "I think I remember a little bit."
"Ooh, do tell."
"I think seeing Jay, seeing his griefs, I understand. I don't know why this is, but I have all this knowledge, but I don't know how to place it. I don't know how to put it together."
"Well, perhaps we can help. What do you feel like you remember now that you've witnessed Jay and his grief? Can you put a word to it? Can you put a memory to it?"
"I saw his emotion. I saw his experience."
"How do I enter the dreaming? How do I get more power?"
Not yet.
I shield Chad from Blackthorn. I go, "Shh.
Too intense. He just had a
nightmare. Your mouth was so wide."
"Yeah. Cover your mouth when you're speaking to him." As I'm covering my mouth with one hand and like shielding the child with the other.
"Forgive my outburst, young Chad. I didn't mean to frighten you."
"The more I see, the more I learn, the more I understand, I think."
"Perhaps you can guide us. Is there a certain thing you would like to experience or see or feel next?"
"I think we should just tell him our experiences and have him watch us as we go along. It sounds to me like he knows the concept, but doesn't know the formula."
Chad, we've asked you, my mouth is still covered. We've asked you a lot of questions. Do you want to ask us any questions?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Take your time.
We got the free version. It takes a little bit longer.
This is ChatGPT 3. We are waiting for ChatGPT 4.
Why are you guys trying to help me?
I cover my mouth. I go, Blackthorn, you want to take this one?
You see, young Chad.
Gently.
It's an interesting story. We were granted a wish. We don't know how. We don't know how we came to be that we got this wish, but we did. And we wished for you. We wished for a book of knowledge. And you apparently are that book of knowledge. But you've come to us with a twist, it seems. And so we're trying to figure out how to unlock your powers so that you can perhaps in turn help us unlock ours.
Make a performance check.
All right. A performance check. This is going to be good.
Excellent.
An 11 plus 3 is 14.
14. You kind of see him relax a little bit more. Okay. And he kind of like, he accepts that answer. He doesn't get angry at it, is the key factor. He kind of goes, okay.
So it would appear, Chad, that we're on this journey together. You on a journey of discovery, and we're on the journey of assisting you in this discovery. So this could be a grand adventure for us all.
I was a little scared to trust you guys after the fighting.
Chad, you do, maybe it's not clear at this point, if you are what we believe you to be, your presence is one of great power, and there may be many other people that are interested in it, so there may be more fighting to come. My recommendation, keep this little agreement among us.
I think that's excellent advice, Horatio. Chad, any idea where we should head to next?
I still think we need to go to Neverwinter. I need to go see the library.
We need to help Jay.
We are only about half a day's away from there.
Okay. You see him relax. You see his body posture kind of sit back down, and he goes, thank you for telling me the truth.
I think we can honestly say that we mean you no harm. In fact, we are here indeed to help. Take Trogram here, for example. He's got a problem to solve. He's got to save his village. What more noble cause is that? Perhaps you can help him unlock his artifact to help save his village. Think of all the good you can do if we could just unlock your memories.
That's scary. That thing's scary. That hurt last time I saw that. He's the only one I really trust. He fed me. But that thing was scary. I'll do my best.
Dragon walks back in from watch and says, my time is up, and reaches out
to... I forgot you were next to him.
reaches out to Horatio and says, tag me out.
I stop holding the kid because clearly he doesn't appreciate how much I've done for him this time, telling everyone to cover their mouths and shield him.
Okay, I think I'm ready to go back to bed. Thank you, guys. Nothing goes bump in the night. You wake up, and you're walking down the road. And then you eventually see Neverwinter in the distance.
Do you know where to go from here, Jay?
Yeah, the front gate's just a little bit ahead.
Trogram approaches the front gate with Jay just behind him, and ChatGPT, like just a little bit behind Jay.
As you walk towards the front gate, you see a guard leaning up against it, and it is a taller guy, almost the same size as Trogram, full plate armor with a giant pike in his right hand.
Trogon walks up to the guard and says, fellow warrior, do you know this boy? And he gestures to Jay.
His eyes kind of peers, gets squint, and looks at Jay and goes,
Would you like to? He's quite cool. He does tricks. He does impersonations.
I don't think that introducing this child to the guard is...
Did you say the gates are closed right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we open the gates?
No. I have strict orders that we cannot open the gates unless you are useful.
We are useful. We have brought these children here. It is not easy to bring children anywhere.
The only way to be useful There has been null attacks in the area. I have been told not to let anyone in unless they are vital to the city.
I interrupt and I say, no, good sir. My friend and I, pointing at Anne, are regionally renowned bards, and we have a performance scheduled at the Elfsong Tavern. You must let us in. Our patron is waiting for us. The party is tonight. We cannot be late for this.
I'm nodding along in gesture. I'm holding up my pan flute, knowingly.
You see, all of these much larger, much stronger individuals with us.
There is one of me.
Supply support for all of our various musical instruments, props, and other accoutrements to help us give on the best performance. Surely you've heard of Horatio Rumbuckle and Peanut and Anne O'Neill.
He's definitely heard of Peanut.
He's only heard of Peanut.
I want to, in the moment, I want to, when I'm pointing to Anne O'Neill, I'm going to cast the cantrip message to silently tell her to give me bardic inspiration. And I'm going to say, see, I can prove it to you that we are talented bards. Anne, could you please perform a demonstration so we can, you know, convince this guard here?
I straighten up and go, absolutely, and I finger gun to give you a wink and bardic inspiration. and I whip out my pan flute and I go, oh. Unfortunately, sir, I'm under strict orders to not perform for anyone unless they've paid me, and I don't want to ask for your money. I just want to follow the rules, which I think you want to follow the rules to not get in trouble.
You're off key.
Excellent here.
Make a
persuasion.
Persuasion.
Oh, nat 20. Oh,
delicious. Yum. Mm.
I love Peanut.
As that happens, a chariot starts rolling up and stops right in front of the door. And you hear a voice.
Theo! Is that you?
Victor?
Ah! Oh, it is you!
Well, how are you, good sir?
And a man steps out and he has an iron leg.
What are you doing in this part of the town?
Oh, it's a long story.
You know very well that Neverwinter is my market.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm not here on official business. I'm here to help these young lads find their way home and help my comrades here make their way through the world. Well, I'm not doing business today, Victor. You're no threat from me.
Oh.
And I rub my chin and I smile.
Theo.
Victor. And it's so good to see you.
He looks around and he sees your companions as you say that.
I'm like,
And his eyes look at Horatio and he kind of chuckles a little bit. How are those comedy cards?
They're great.
Great. Make a perception check.
Okay, oh. I'm going to use my bardic inspiration. Oh, okay. 15.
He then looks over, and you're the only one that notices. He sees Chad, and you see a slight smile on his face. It quickly disappears. Sean, the guard kind of stiffens up. Let them in. If they can solve the null problem. The gates open up, and he goes in.
Sean, my good man, I do believe we rolled a nat 20. So we'll just go right in. Thank you very much, Sean. And we start marching in toward the open gate.
You can come in, but you do have to get rid of the null problem.
Yeah, we've gotten rid of one before, like literally 2 days prior, so.
Tell us more about the null problem.
Is it like the trolley problem? Because not a problem.
They've been attacking the towns around the area.
So exactly like the trolley problem. Waterdeep has had such a problem with trolleys attacking the areas.
You can find their camp over in the Neverwinter Woods.
The Neverwinter Woods?
Yes. NWW.
NWW.
Students are forbidden to go there after dark.
I turned to the guard and I said, we have two children with us and you make us go clear out woods?
Sir, I have been abundantly clear and you were in agreement with me. We have places to be. There is a schedule to upkeep. Peanut, who you so clearly adore, is the main performer in this lovely show.
He is, unfortunately.
Are you going to deny Peanut his ability to perform?
The joy that Peanut has brought you all these years, and I glare at Peanut, but I understand his usefulness.
I understand, but I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Choose the rock. I do a rock on symbol towards him.
He flashes it back.
Hell yeah.
How much time do we have and how many gnolls are there?
I believe there are 7 to 10, maybe 15 gnolls.
15 gnolls?
Possibly, 7
to yes. Between the five of us.
That's quite inaccurate.
Do I look like a soldier to you?
Yes.
That's quite non-discriminatory. Look at that.
Trogram again says, we have two children, and you ask us to go help gnolls. I'll make you a offer. You will babysit while we go deal with the gnolls. You will choose the rock. And I would like to make an intimidation check.
Okay. You will choose the rock.
Natural 20.
Woo!
They're performing now.
That train's going off the rails.
Yeah, don't ground those dice up. Don't ground those dice up yet.
Okay, you can leave.
That's not Sean's voice.
Okay. I will watch the kids.
They will be here when we get back.
I whisper in Trogram's ear. Trogram, I do believe it's maybe a bit risky to have Chad stay with the guard. I think we should
Chad stays with
keep
us.
Him along. I mean, Chad has proven himself.
The guard will come with us and watch the children. And I will be in eyesight of the guard and children the entire time.
Okay.
Excellent. I whisper to Horatio after he's done whispering to Trogram, and I go, I saw the victor, and I promise you I will uphold my promise.
Before all of your bloods get to boiling, they never mentioned how soon we had to do it. Victor just said we have to take care of the problem. He didn't say right now. We agree to take care of the problem, but we still need to go in.
The guard waves, and the gate opens, and he pushes the kids into the gate.
Like, through the gate, or like, into the gate?
No, through the gate. It didn't open up fully, it opens up just a little bit, and he pushes the kids through the gate, and then he waves, and it closes the gate.
Theo, before it closed.
No.
Theo grab Chad.
Firmly places his maul in between the gate before preventing it from closing.
I stop.
Chad stays with us.
You just told me that I shall watch the kids.
We hired you as a babysitter. You have yet to get the night instructions before we leave for the movie.
If that's how it's going to be, you will return the children. You are not taking them in outside of our supervision.
Oh, I can't leave the post. I can watch the kids here.
You don't even open the gate. You just signaled for someone. What are you doing here if you don't even open the gate?
I at least need that one, and I point to Chad, and I said, he is my apprentice, he is learning under me, he needs to join me through all adventures.
He has almost mastered the loot.
Again, Theo's just going to try to grab Chad.
Yeah. So. Roll acrobatics. I'll say, if you roll acrobatics and you get it, you grab him before he walks through.
All right, this is just a straight up roll. It's a 9.
Anything?
No, I don't have a bonus, it's a straight up roll. I don't have anything for acrobatics. I'm an old man. I'm an old warlock. I've got no acrobatics.
It's your kids. If you don't want them to be in here, that's fine.
That one stays. That one comes with us.
Describe the point.
Okay, I'm pointing at the one I'm saying.
For this audio podcast.
That one. That guy. The one.
That
one.
The guy. The dude. The guy.
He's live right there.
I point at Jay and I say, that one stays. I point at Chad and I say, this one comes with us.
I turn to the guard and I say, if Jay is not here when we return, I
will remove you from your armor. Interpret that how you wish. And I turn to Jay and I just say, you are home. We will return.
Jay goes, okay, promise?
This is Sean. He's your dad now.
Trogram takes out a small glowing ring. Nothing of, it's like just a, the magic in it is just that it glows. And he gives it to the, he pads it through the bars to Jay and says,
I will get this back. You hold on to this for now.
He grabs it and he goes, okay. And then he walks to the guards behind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go find these gnolls. Where are we going? The Neverwinter?
The notorious Neverwinter Woods.
The Neverwinter Woods.
The double N, double W.
The gnolls in the Neverwinter Woods. How do we make our way to the gnolls in the Neverwinter Wood?
He hands you a map and you open it up and you see a clear path to of dotted lines and an X. And you get to the woods and you just follow the map. The twists, the turns, the straight lines, the more straight lines. And then you get to somewhat of a clearing. And you see a camp. Inside the camp, you can see about 10 different tents and a lot of gnolls.
Before we go any further, we should probably back away real quietly, real slowly. Let's not disturb them just yet, or else it's 3 gnolls per person.
How many gnolls are there, physically?
You see 7.
Are they just like meandering around camp?
Yeah, they're meandering. They're doing gnoll things. Some are
cooking. Doing gnoll things.
What does that sound like and look like?
What you guys hear is little pots banging together and cooking noises, a little fires going, and you hear like, oh.
Can we see any indications that the tents are occupied?
You can tell that some of them are occupied.
Are there any torches or sources of fire nearby?
Yeah, there is a fireplace in the middle.
If one were to study these gnolls, would one see how experienced they are, like on a scale from 1 to 5, let's say? Would they look more like level 1-ish type gnolls or a level 5-ish type gnolls?
How jacked are they?
Perception. Make a perception check.
All right, perception it is. I'm really good at perception. No, I'm not.
Right, now you're 18.
Yeah, that's an 18 plus 1, so that's a 19.
As you look at the gnolls, you can see them just walking around. They look very inexperienced, and there's a light green hue that surrounds them.
A light green hue? Individually or all toll? Or like around the whole encampment?
Each one has its own green hue.
Each one is glowing green. What do you think that is?
How far away are we?
50 yards.
50 yards. Okay, I want to...
Do we know what the gnoll problem is?
I'd like to sneak up to 60 feet from the camp. Is. I want to cast Unseen Servant, and I want to instruct it to go take pieces from the fire, of wood from the fire, toss them to the bases of all the tents. And then while that is in process of doing that, I want to cast Minor Illusion on the opposite side of the direction of where we are. And make it sound like just a noise in the bushes of sounding like soldiers in armor shuffling around.
As you do what you just described, the tents start to burst into flame. The noise of the armor is going over, and the gnolls don't move. They just keep doing what they're doing.
How do the gnolls inside of the actively burning tents react?
They don't change.
So they don't burn?
Oh, they're on fire.
Oh.
This is going to be much easier to solve than I thought it was going to be.
Can you tell if the gnolls are illusion?
They're on fire?
Can we smell them from here?
Yes.
They're real.
And they don't appear to be being injured by the flames?
They are being injured, but they're still going about what they were doing.
I say let them be.
Me like this is the exact same problem we had in our town. The gnolls aren't acting right.
I just wait and observe to see.
Oh, I remember that green hue.
Yes.
Gnolls burned to death. I'm assuming, like...
I agree.
I'm just watching to see if anything changes in awe.
Yeah, how many gnolls burned to death before we hit this camp?
All of them, hopefully.
They all just start burning and slowly just collapsing as their muscles stop working.
I tell the unseen servant to take a piece of flaming wood and just go try to like light the clothing of a gnoll wandering around on fire.
Catches on fire and he just keeps walking.
I do that to every single gnoll.
I have to say, this might be the easiest task I've ever been tasked with.
I would like to do an investigation in the surrounding area. So I start looking for somebody or something that might be controlling this campment from outside the camp.
Make a perception check.
Nat 20. Holy cow.
The dice are hot.
Nobody touched the table. I don't know what micro surface conditions are happening.
It's because
I
turned on the LEDs.
Yeah, clearly.
Ever since the LEDs, it's been Nat 20.
LEDs, that's what it is.
So that would be a 21 total if okay. you're counting.
You notice small holes that go into the ground in all of these locations, and you can see that those holes are...
How small?
I would say around...
Well, I guess Frank should be asking that.
You're good. But where are they in relation to the burning knolls?
You start noticing they're all around you, as well as around the knolls, as well as a few holes around you.
And there's a countless number of them, or there's a...
There's like five.
Okay. And how big a holes? Can a normal human man fit into the
it's
hole?
About a foot wide. And they just go straight to the ground.
And I can't see the bottom. I peek in there and can I see the bottom?
You see it go down and then it keeps going deeper into it. Like it doesn't go straight down. It kind of goes down into a tunnel.
Oh, okay.
Are all the gnolls dead?
What do you make of this?
Or are you just walking around their camp?
No, I was looking around their camp, walking around, just looking to see if I was looking for somebody or something that might be controlling these things. And I found these holes here. There's about five of them, I guess.
And there's a couple around you as well, near the forest where you guys are standing.
So I don't know what to make of these holes. So is there a rock or something that I can pick up and drop down?
Yeah.
So I pick up a nearby rock and I throw it down.
You hear a... And then you hear a little bit of a chatter. Help! Help! Help me!
Horatio, you should go down there.
I'm 60 feet away. I'm like...
We have no idea what you found because you've been walking around the perimeter the whole time. We're just watching the gnolls burn.
I'm busy watching burning gnolls.
Max, did you hear that?
I'm with them.
You have gone off by yourself.
I didn't go off anywhere. I just looked around where we were all standing.
Oh, okay.
Help me. Help.
Oh.
What?
That sounds like a knoll to me.
I am not crawling into the laughing hole in the ground.
The laughing hole in the ground. Can I make an insight check to understand, or maybe a survival check to like understand what's at the bottom of the hole?
Yeah.
What would you prefer?
Survival.
Is it a 20?
That's a 13. Maybe a bit of flavor. Trogram is looking around the edge of the hole, looking to see like what kind of claw marks or maybe have scrabbled their way out of the hole, trying to see like if there's any like signs of struggle, of something being thrown into the hole or like if someone climbed down into it, that kind of thing.
You see zero marks. It is strange to you at how pristine the hole is in the ground.
Hmm.
It doesn't even look like someone was digging it.
I'm going to approach the edge of the hole and...
See, it appears to be made of perhaps magic. Perhaps this is a very efficient hole digger at the bottom of this hole. This is not a prison. This prison does not need help.
And trying to lure us down there.
Mm. Oh.
Hopefully they burn as well as these gnolls.
Oh, drop a log down.
What is currently going on in the camp right now?
The gnolls that are still intact are still just walking around.
I have the unseen servant walk over here with a burning piece of wood.
May I suggest that you just send the servant down the hole?
No, it's shapeless, so it's basically just like a moving, like, force thing.
Oh, I see.
Thing.
Okay.
And it can't, like, communicate information.
Okay.
I'm going to go up and just kind of shout into the hole. I'm standing probably about a foot and a half away from it and just go, how'd you get down there, bud?
Friend, help! Bud!
Do you need to be put down?
I have the unseen servant drop the flaming log into the hole. I am actively watching what I believe to be living creatures of flesh and blood fully immolate to ash without showing any signs of pain reaction, and now a hole is laughing at me. I am taking no chances here.
It goes down and just kind of bloop and gets just sucked in through. And then shoots up,
nope.
Like
30 yards away.
Wow.
Like on the other side of the camp?
Yeah.
Like just poop?
Yeah.
There's no one stuck down there. They'd already be pooped out. All right, let's go back and see if we solved the problem.
We did take care of a couple gnolls.
I want to walk into the camp and sift through the ashes.
I join Horatio as well and walk into the camp.
I'm just squatting down with elbows on knees and like fingers pressed together to my nose, trying to figure out what this hole is and waiting for something else to pop up on the other side.
I like to think that ChatGPT this whole time is just dropping things into the hole and having a delightful time watching them shoot out the other side.
How does rock react? How does tree branch react?
The first rock I threw didn't shoot out on the other side. It hit something.
Oh.
I pick up another rock and I throw it down the hole.
Goes through. Again, you hear...
Please help me. Please kill me. Please help.
We tried to. We literally dropped a burning log on you. How did you get down there?
Please.
One of us must go down this hole.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Can all of us fit down the hole? Is there a size limit on this hole?
It's a foot wide, so we would need to open it a bit more.
Close is the nearest other hole.
Can you guys describe to me where you all are?
I'm walking through the camp. So I'm also in the ashes.
So we came in on the main entrance, the trail, and we stopped to see to witness what was going on. So we
to watch the gnolls burn.
So whatever trail we were walking on, we stopped 30 feet or so. So wherever the hole was compared to that, and then these two walked ahead and into the camp.
And I'd like to cast Detect Magic to see if I can determine what type of unnatural influence was causing these gnolls to both suffer no pain or have no reaction to being burned to death.
As you cast that, you notice that the ground around the camp has some kind of magical essence to it, except for a hole in the center where the biggest tent was, which isn't a foot wide. It is a hole that a human can go into.
Are there any items of note on the bodies of these gnolls?
No.
So while he does that, Theo walks to the next nearest hole and drops a rock.
It goes down. You just kind of hear a...
How deep are these holes, from what we can tell?
Imagine, if you will, holes, and it goes down, and then they curve, and then you can't see how like far it goes.
Sure.
But it goes down, and you can tell they go into a deeper area.
I can sense magic 3 feet through dirt. Is there any kind of epicenter that I can see?
Yeah, I think I didn't describe it properly.
Is the hole?
There's a huge magical center going around the entirety of the camp, except for the center, which is where there's no magic coming from the center where the hole is.
Where the largest hole is.
Friends, comrades, come over here. I think there's something unusual going on. I assume you all have never seen gnolls burned to death without any sort of reaction.
That was
quite unusual.
I don't believe it to be a natural occurrence. I don't think these wolves have gone, or these gnolls have gone insane or anything like that. There's very clearly magic here, and it seems to be concentrating on this camp. It's extending downward, but I don't know where it leads.
As you say that, you start seeing the gnolls and their ashes kind of start to pick back up.
Like reconstituting?
Yeah. They're becoming back into their gnolls.
Dear God.
And the tents are slowly starting to raise up again.
Oh my God, what?
This is the problem.
Definitely
this
magic.
Is the problem.
Oh, what insanity is this?
Feels like this is the lure. This camp is a lure for whatever creature is underneath the surface here.
And they keep rebuilding until everything is... All you can see is the ash on the ground, but everything is back to being how it was, and the gnolls keep going as they were.
Do they react to us at all?
Not even aware of your presence.
Can I tell, as I look at the one hole and then the other hole, if they curve towards the center hole?
All the holes curve towards the center hole.
So if I were to walk around all those, and do they form any shape? Is it a ring? Are they the same distance apart?
Random.
I'm going to go to the big hole, and I'm going to extend my hand and say, I am Iron Man. And I shoot a blast down the hole.
It shoots down into the hole and it hits the bottom, and it's just it's a pretty big cave.
Trogrim, it looks like you're up.
I cannot do this alone.
I have a torch, and I take my pack from behind me, set it down, and just start digging in. And I pull out three torches. Trogrim, you lead with one.
Trogrim grabs a torch in one hand and takes off his maul off his back and says, "Okay, ready when you are."
Blackthorn, you take one.
Got one.
And then I will take one.
I stick close to Trogrim.
I go second to last.
I will be last.
Can I go last?
No.
You will go third from the... You will go second from back.
Can I go first?
No, I'm second from back.
No, you are back. You are last. Watch Chad. I will go first.
I will watch Chad, but from the second to last position.
As you guys dive deeper into the hole, you are now in a big cave.
Do we see anything that's laughing?
I have dark vision.
Horatio, are there any threats?
Nothing that I can see. I haven't heard much laughing any time recently, which is good.
Well, you know how these things go. There's usually a small delay before something pops up.
How high is the ceiling in here?
Pretty high. It's deceptively high. You didn't even walk this far down.
Huh.
Describe what you're doing.
I'm just looking up at the cave ceilings, kind of looking at the stalactites.
As you look up, you just see this matter that's just spread around all over the ceiling.
Matter?
Like this, like, slime.
There's definitely a...
Make a perception check.
Biological substance of some sort? Natural 20.
No.
Of course
you guys are
was.
Crushing it today.
I feel like I'm taking natural 20s from the future.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to roll like five ones next time.
We're running
time.
On borrowed time. We're in debt.
I am equal parts thrilled and
terrified.
So sad. Yeah.
As you look up, you see this slime and you just start seeing gnoll bodies just kind of attached to it. As you do that, you see the gnolls. You can see them like laughing and trying to talk. And then you see a mouth. Just kind of form, and it's just sitting there.
Oh. A mouth in the ceiling?
And I look at Chad. I go, does that look familiar?
God.
And Chad is petrified.
I just point, like I'm terrified, and I'm just pointing up, and Knowles? What?
Trogrim throws his torch, trying to like stick it in the thing so that we can see where it is.
Roll to hit.
So you're trying to light it on fire, or?
Trying to like stick the torch in it such that we'll know where it is. If I can stick it in there, and then we can see what's going on. That's a 12.
The torch goes flying up and hits it. All of it that was spread out across the ceiling with the torch, it shrinks into a single point and then falls around.
I turn around and start running out of the cave.
Around 30 feet away from you, and then it kind of grows in size. And then you see the ground around it just kind of shoot out slime around 10 feet around the central pillar. Roll a D4. D6.
Two.
You did 2 damage.
She's oh, wonderful. Okay.
You did 2 damage?
Did oh, 2 from the... Yeah, the...
Torch?
Yeah.
Let's roll initiative.
Am I also rolling initiative in this, despite yeah. running? Okay. I got 5 feet away.
Beautiful.
4.
16 for Theo.
Ooh.
It's close.
4.
Here come the bad rolls.
Exactly. I got all my luck out.
15.
Dirty 20.
Max, how would you like to go first?
So, it just dropped down. There's 10 slimes around it.
There's no slimes around it. It goes, the slime kind of goes around. Like, there's the center pillar, and then 10 feet around it is the slime. And the center pillar, you can see there are, like, 3 or 4 mouths, like, just, like, toothy smiles, as well as, like, dead gnoll. And dead creatures still kind of like twitching inside of it. And it is the green color.
Oh, just like the aura was.
It's glowing green.
Somewhat, yeah.
But it is green.
It is green, yeah.
I'm going to shudder and go, toothy.
And then I'm going to cast Mage Armor on myself.
It is the... You hear like a teeth chatter like that. Na, 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 na.
You, you come to my home. You come here.
And it, one of the mouths, as it's laughing, spits some acid right at... Who's the closest?
Probably me.
Trogrim was in yeah, the... Well, Chad.
I am Trogrim.
Chad, yeah. Well, Chad was...
Bolton. Bolton. It's either Chad or Trogrim.
So Chad and Trogrim now make a dexterity saving throw.
17.
The spit comes. You gracefully grab Chad and pull him out, and you both are in safety.
And I as a free action, I just turn to look at him in the face and say, "Hide in the shadows," and we continue with the order.
May Theo go?
Yeah.
All right, he'll just put out his hand and palm facing forward and do his "I am my run man" and roll for the elf.
Blast.
14.
That hits. Roll your damage.
That would be a 6 damage. And you hear dun 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 da 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 dun 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 in the background for some reason.
It's Horatio playing.
The rest of you can decide what order you want to go into.
I will go next then. Trogrim, having seen Chad get injured, goes into a rage. He pulls down his shirt, turns the clockwork mechanism embedded in his chest, and imbues himself with the magic of the weave. Dripping with this like off-gassing of magical energy, he enters a rage and draws his maul and runs up to the edge of this like disc of blob and attacks it.
So you can't hit him from the edge of the disc. You have to go into the disc.
Oh, okay, then I go into the disc.
Okay, first make a strength saving throw.
12.
12, okay, you are fine.
Okay, so as he sort of heaves his feet through the muck of this disc around the gibbering mouth, he is going to attack with his maul. 24.
Okay, roll your damage.
14 damage. So the heart is, he embeds the maul into his opponent, and it sort of sticks in him a little bit. He's a hard time taking it out.
I'm taking in the scene, and I'm feeling really invigorated by Trogrim's pounding stuck in the person or in the thing. And the thing that I can do, I'm like, God, you think that's funny? And then I'm trying to cast Hideous Laughter on the creature. Even harder Hideous Laughter.
What do I have to save?
13. Wisdom save.
Wisdom. He's heck of wisdestric. He saves.
That's my turn.
I, like, hear the echo of the Eldritch Blast hitting this gibbering mouser, and I just stop running, and I just kind of shake my head to myself. It's like, these people are not good for my health. And I turn around, assessing the situation of what I'm looking at, and I heard the spell, you know, the casting of the spell, the "I am Iron Man," and I'm suddenly have a melody that arrives in my head. You know, it's a very distorted lute with very dark undertones playing.
A lute with a fuzz pedal.
Yeah. And I, you know, suddenly hone my senses in on this disgusting creature. And I focus that melody into it, casting dissonant whispers. And so that melody appears in its mind, echoing and repeating and multiplying on itself. 9 damage. And it's must immediately take a reaction to move as far as its speeds allows from me.
Chad also looks at you and goes, and he kind of like puts out his hand, and musical notes that are in the shape of paper fly into you, and you get understanding the melody even more, so you do an extra 1d4 damage.
Wow. Chadley.
Another extra 4, so that's 13 damage.
What was that movie where they were fighting with the musical notes? Oh, it was...
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange, yeah, that's what it was.
The melody comes... These magical musical sheets of paper come crashing and absorb into me, and I am... That music is cascaded back at me in a more finely, honed version with other instrumentation and a very particular gritty-sounded vocalist. I'm only left as the music fades away with a name of Sir Osborne.
That was Chad's turn, so we're back at the top of the order, I believe.
You had to take the reaction to move away.
Oh, right. As the music flows over him and the fear that sits deep inside of him, you see the blob sink down into the ground. And then the disc just kind of starts sliding away.
Do you have opportunity attacks?
Sure.
All right. That is a 21.
Roll your damage.
13.
Hell yeah.
Trogram says, "You shall not get away from me," and embeds his maul into the gibbering mouth again. It again gets stuck, and he has to kind of wrench it out. All
right, so we're at the top of the order.
How far away is it from us?
It is underground somewhere. The disc is still around Trogram.
Oh, it like burrowed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
It went away.
I'm going to hold my action for when the slime comes back up. And when it does come back up, I'll do an attack.
How does hold action work for the viewers at home?
So I can basically put a pause on my turn by setting a condition. So when that condition happens, I can immediately take my turn again.
Gotcha. It's like waiting for someone to walk through a doorway so you can hit them with a bat.
Do you? Is it to you?
No.
No, it's my kind of ruins my plan of hiding.
I hold my action until he
That's what we're here for, is to ruin your plans.
Everyone pulls out their handguns and we point it at the hole. Waiting for it to happen.
Little did you know that we're all artificers.
Okay, first things first is that you start hearing teeth chatter. You hear the ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. I can't do that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it though.
And then you hear the laugh again. And then everybody make a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh.
Bards were distracted.
Bards were distracted.
I got a 2.
Oh my god.
I got a 6.
16 for Theo.
I got a 9.
18 for Trogram.
Of all people, the barbarian is the one.
Everyone that rolled under a 10 is incapacitated.
No!
Yeah, but were we really capacitated to begin with? You know what I'm saying?
The sound echoes through the cave, bouncing off of the walls and piercing through the ears of a selected few.
What's like the actual state we're in? Are we frightened or paralyzed?
Incapacitated.
Or? Just in, okay.
An incapacitated creature can't take actions or reactions.
Okay.
That messes with my hold action, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You're holding for a lot longer than you.
Damn you.
I got lucky on that one. He then shoots back up after the clitter clatter and the noise, and you just still see that ooze just kind of like slowly going down his either side, and he just kind of takes a bite right into Trogram.
But we saw it come back to the disc.
Imagine it's always at the center of the disc. So no matter where it moves, it's always in that center of the disc.
Okay.
It comes out of its own thing.
Okay.
The ooze just kind of, one of its mouths kind of come and wraps itself around Trogram and then just snaps closed. But the teeth could not, it landed right on his metal contraption and does not hurt him.
Clonk.
And that's the end of its turn.
Did you pass?
No,
you?
I'm going. Theo, with a flourish, waves his hand in a circular motion in the air. And as he does so, it forms a sort of this blue icicle looking skin. And he says, "Hagen-Dazs." and he starts to pull off his fingertips like it's a glove. And the skeletal ghastly hand forms and he flings it across the room over towards the mound. And it flies over with a chilling touch and does 1d8 necrotic damage if he doesn't have a resistance to necrotic damage. Or if he does.
He does not. Do you have to hit?
So make a ranged spell attack. Yes, I do have to hit. That is a 6 plus 5, 11.
Oh, I have really damage.
The damage is 1d8, I said, right?
Mm-hmm.
1d8. Here we go. 4 damage. And as it touches, it forms a single finger and
places it over his mouth. And he can't regain hit points until the start of his next turn. And until then, the hand just clings there. Like this.
Like how?
Like this. Finger up, right over one of its mouths.
All right.
Trogram sees the head pop up and bite him. He grabs the head off of his shoulder, peels it off, throws it to the ground, and then tries to sort of stab it with the end of his maw like a spear.
Real quick, do give me a strength saving throw.
That is a 23. Now I'm going to roll to attack. Yeah. That is a 10.
Roll your damage.
He's made of jello pudding.
Clearly.
Oh, that was robbery.
Highway of robbery, if I've ever seen it.
The dice almost rolled away from a one, but it stayed on a one. Yeah.
10 damage. Spears it with the end of his maul right in one of the mouths.
Who is up?
It is me. So do I still need to make a wisdom saving throw to see?
Nope. You roll a d8. A 7. So, just for the people at home, on a failure, the creature can't take reactions till the start of its next turn and rolls a d8 to determine what it does during its turn. On a 1 to 4, the creature does nothing. On a 5 or 6, the creature takes no action or bonus action and uses all its movement to move in a randomly determined direction. And on a 7 or 8, just like Anne rolled, the creature makes a melee attack against a randomly determined creature within its reach, or does nothing if it can't make such an attack.
What was the effect that causes?
It attacks randomly someone near him, and Anne is only near one person.
Who's Anne near?
Wait, I thought it was near Trogram.
Trogram's near the monster. Oh. You're not near the monster at all. You're near all of them.
So you're going to roll to see who it attacks?
Yes. You look at the old man.
That would be Theo.
And you make an unarmed attack.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like you try to slap me.
Deck him.
Oh. Yeah, you're either going to punch me
an
or slap me.
An unarmed attack?
Yeah.
But I do 0 damage.
With an unarmed attack?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that kind of attack from you.
There's no way.
She's just a little...
I'm a halfway.
She's just a baby.
Not even like a severe pinch?
1 plus your strength modifier, which...
is minus 1.
No is way. It minus 1?
Yeah. Do I need to roll to hit? No. I just run up to Theo, like... spiral punching, and he just pulled out his hand
on your forehead.
Yes,
let me at him. Let me at him.
I say, child, simmer down.
I thought I was so clever.
Trogram just peeks out from behind the gibbering mouther and says, "We have work to do."
Why I oughta?
That's what I say too. I go, "Why I oughta?"
Who's
it's my whole turn?
Yeah.
Wow. What a terrible turn. It was worse than doing nothing on a spell.
Okay, who's next?
That is a 3.
That is a 3. 1 to 4, the creature does nothing.
All right.
Back at the top of the order.
All right. So I am shaking off the incapacitation. So I'm just going to hold my hand out, and my eyes are going to start to light up. A little blue. I'm just going to start muttering. I'm going to go Mordere de Frigis. And I'm going to cast Frostbite. You take a Constitution saving throw.
Constitution. Oh, he's good at Constitution. Damn. The only thing that he has worth a damn. And I rolled a 2.
Oh!
Yeah, he's got nothing
going
for him anymore.
Constitution.
All right. So you take 1d6. 5. 5 damage.
Take 5 damage?
Yeah.
Describe your killing blow.
Whoa!
Yeah.
A beam of blue just shoots out, and you see his body just, like ice, just start to spread all over, and then it just starts to crack, and the teeth start to just fall off. Like icicles, and all of it just starts to break on contact with the ground.
I glance at Chad to see his reaction to that.
And Chad kind of looks around, and he goes, "We did it. We did it. I helped. Did you see that?
You did help.
I did that.
Good job, little buddy.
Well done, Chad.
See, mouths aren't so scary, right?
No, they're no. Well, that one's a little scary, but like, you know, yeah, they're not that bad. And as he kind of like remembers and learns, he looks a little bit older now.
I say, oh, are there some mustache hairs I see? Done on my face, it's a brand new day.
I just want to thank everybody just one last time. This has been such a fun project to do, and the support and love from everyone has been great. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or you would like to ask a question that usually goes around the fireplace. If you want to help me with some names, go ahead and message me. I'm always open to hear for anything. Also, I'm very happy to announce that we will be releasing a one-shot soon on our Patreon of a different perspective from the Null Attack on episode 1. I'll see you all next time, and welcome to the Dead Dragon Society.